Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Good morning. Seems like every week we see some faces that we haven't seen for a while, so it's just really good. It's good to see all of you. We see half the faces that we haven't seen for a while. But we also, so it's good for you, good to see you here. And everybody joining us via live stream, it is also very good to know that you are here with us as well. Well, in memory of Alex Trebek, I'd like to start off with a Jeopardy answer. I am the resurrection and the life. And the question is, who is Jesus? And that is the question, isn't it? I mean, it is the question that every person on earth will answer at some point. Who is Jesus? And if he's the resurrection and the life, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for us? What does that mean for the world? What does that mean in this life? What does it mean in the afterlife? It means that nobody is too dead to live again. It means that nothing or no one that is lost can't be found. That's your daily double. So I want to invite us to stand up for these first two songs, if you're able to, if you're willing to join us by standing up. We want to start off this service the way that we left off last week's service.
I believe there's another miracle here in this room.
Simplest verses in the whole entire Bible. 1 John 4:16. God is love. If God is the center of the universe, then love is at the center of the universe. Love is the driving force of the universe. It is what holds all things together. It is why we exist. Look what love I've found, so complete, so secure, so sweet. It is truly a reckless love, a love that will do anything to bring us back to that love, that source of love. Richard Rohr says this, "But if you don't believe that infinite love is the center of the universe, you live in a scarcity model where there's never enough food, money, security, healthcare, mercy, to go around. You can't risk letting go because you're not sure you'll be refilled. If you're protecting yourself, if you're securing your own image and identity, then you're still holding on." Isn't that really, doesn't it feel like our culture right now is living in a scarcity, in a fear-based mentality? And it's not love as the center. But if God is the center of the universe, then love is the center of this universe. I want to read this verse for you. I just want you to let it soak in. Just let it speak to you however God wants to say, what he wants to say to you this morning. He gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. He gives it through his great power. He gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. He gives it through his great power. Let's not live with the mentality of scarcity, that we're not going to somehow have enough, or that we're not going to be refilled if we give out of ourselves. What a Savior we serve. It's not a scarcity mentality. We can always start over again, right? What a Savior, my Redeemer, friend of sinners, one like me. Oh, what kindness, suffered violence, healed my blindness, and set
Oh, a grace I found.
life hold nothing but my Savior, that would be enough, wouldn't it? Because He is enough. And He is surely good. He is good. Can we sing about that? And I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you might want to or even need to stand up for this song, but it's up to you.
So good to me, Jesus. So good, so good. He's been so good to me, too. It's good to see all of you this morning, and we welcome you to Hosanna and to our friends online. Love you, miss you, and it's great to have you joining us. And if you're a guest here today, we welcome you. And if you're guests with us online, we welcome you as well. You know, I was sitting there when we were singing those songs. I thought, you know, just so you know, if I didn't work here, this would be my church, honestly, because it's like, I just love the fact that there's so much grace. So wrong keys played, wrong starts, you know, I say dumb things during the offering. It doesn't matter, you know. There's grace abounds here, and love abounds, and that's only due to our Lord. So, yes. So a couple announcements for you this morning. Just as a reminder, our Change for Change bucket over here in the back is benefiting for the next 3 months, January, February, and March, the Warwick Compassion Network's Energy Fund. And what Hosanna is a part of the Warwick Compassion Network, and what we try to do is with, along with the other churches in Lititz, help families in our community, especially over the winter months with electric and with oil and with heating assistance. So that's what those funds are going for the next 3 months. Also, the class, The Gift of Being Yourself, did I get that title right? Is continuing today, meeting in person over to my left in the fellowship hall and online as well. And if you would like to join, you can contact Tony at tony@hosannalititz.org or online. And tomorrow night, questions group is meeting as well. And that is all on Zoom. And if you would like an invitation for that, contact Tony at tony@hosannalititz.org. Don't you love how simple it is to get a hold of the staff? Deb@hosannalititz.org, Sean@hosannalititz.org. We make it really simple for all of you. And with that, I'm going to invite Tony and Joanne to come up and bring us the message.
I'm making old lady noises now.
Thanks,
no,
Deb.
That's just because I rescued a dog. Oh, dear Lord, what a week, right? But I've been training her because, you know, she comes into a new environment, got to do the, she's housebroken, but you got to, I've got to read her signals. Long story short, I'm rewarding her when she does what she needs to do with a walk. If she doesn't do what she needs to do, there's no walk. Let's just say she's real smart and she picked up on that very, very quickly. So I've been walking more than I've ever, I think that I've ever walked. And I think every muscle in my body right now is screaming at me. So I'm just justifying the old lady noises because I'm not old. I'm not an old lady.
Every once in a while, the dog takes Joanne on a walk.
Absolutely.
It's good for her.
It does not like little dogs. But that's
have any of you seen these Bernie Sanders memes going around online from the inauguration? There will be none in today's message. I thought there might be shouts of hallelujah on that. I was tempted, but we decided not to do that. Instead, I'm going to start with zombies, which is a completely unrelated note. Last week, in our message on the Valley of Dry Bones that came to life, Ezekiel 37, I did make a passing reference to the place as the Valley of Zombies. And you know what zombies are, aren't you? Don't you? Notice I went with humorous images here. We don't need to have some of the ones. They're dead bodies that have been reanimated. They're the Walking Dead, about whom we can develop a sixth sense. See, they show up in our media quite a bit. And they're scary, right? Zombies eat brains, which is why horror films are made about them. Good news, by the way, for the brainless. I might actually have a chance if the zombie apocalypse happens. And if you don't like the idea of dead people coming back as zombies, then there's a more popular belief out there, nearly every culture of the world, that they sometimes come back as disembodied spirits that we call, what?
Ghosts.
Yeah. And they're scary, too. They sneak up and yell, boo! They rattle chains in the attic, which is why horror films are made about them as well. And, of course, some people are intrigued by ghosts and zombies. I am at least curious about some of the paranormal experiences that some people have had and a couple of weird things I've experienced. I don't know how to interpret them, but some people are intrigued and go chasing after to try to figure it out. Some just try to make it less scary and turn it into humor, like the Ghostbuster movies, or to try to make them more friendly, like Casper, the friendly ghost, which was a big deal when I was a kid. But the very effort to do all that reveals our unease with the idea of dead people, dead things, being actively present with us. Dead is dead, right? And truth be told, we like to keep things that way. Mm-hmm. And then along comes Jesus, risen from the dead. No wonder the first thing that the disciples thought when they saw him was, it's a ghost! He's a ghost! And a ghost would be something to avoid, right? By the way, that's not the first time. There was another time in the Gospels and they thought he was a ghost. Mm-hmm. Jesus had this habit of just scaring people. A ghost would be something to avoid, not someone to celebrate, not someone to love, not someone to trust resurrection from. Jesus had to persuade them that his resurrection and their own was something completely different from being a ghost or a zombie. And as we said last week, he had to persuade them that the resurrected life, what we call Zoe life, from the Greek word for the different kinds of life, Zoe life is completely different from and far better than mere biological existence, which is what most people will put up with. Yeah. We'll do our X amount of years in our life, and that's it. We will simply have existed as a biological unit when he's inviting us to Zoe life. To this day, Jesus is inviting his disciples, you and I, to trust that resurrection is both really real and really good, and to live like it's true. So that's why last week we introduced a new theme for the year, Living Resurrection, yes. Which is on the screen. And did you love the lovely banner
yes.
over here?
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, Amy told me I wasn't allowed to tell anybody that she designed that, so I'm not going to.
Oh, but he didn't tell me that. Oops. Sorry.
So you didn't hear it from me. That wasn't Amy Becker at all who did that. Anyway, the reason we're picking this theme for this year is because as wonderful as resurrection is, it still remains largely theoretical for most people, even most Christians.
Yeah.
That's a nice doctrine. Good for Jesus. He got to come back to life. Happy Easter. But for most people, resurrection is not something that changes their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we said last week, the best news of Easter is not that Christ rose from the dead, but that he did it so all of us could too. And if you're a passion on this, it's because we believe our world needs a good dose of resurrection right now. Yeah, I hear some amens on that one. Maybe you and I do too. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
It really, really matters.
It does.
So we're invited this year, this morning, to make it real for each one of us.
Yeah. So as we start this, we're going to have a whole year to be exploring so many aspects of what resurrection is and what resurrection life looks like for us. But as we start, the question is, why does the resurrection of Christ 2,000 years ago matter to us today? And as we know, different Christians have different answers to that question. Tony and I, you know, just kind of listed a few common answers to that question. Why does it matter? Well, first, Christ's resurrection matters because it allows him to be with us and to help us with our lives.
And that's a good thing, right? Because prior to his resurrection, Jesus was one individual human being. He was God, but he was limited in his humanity the same way that we are. So he ministered to multitudes of people, yes, but they all lived within a very limited geographical area. Israel and a few regions outside. That's it. That's what he could do as one person. So part of the good news of the resurrection is that the risen Christ is now able, in his resurrected form, he's able to be present everywhere, at all times, at the same time. Right? And that happens through the Holy Spirit. And then before he ascended back into the Trinity, which maybe this year we'll talk a little bit more about the wonder of that, huh? He comes out of the body with, or comes out of the grave with a body that's physical. He's eating fish. He's walking through walls. But it's changed.
I walk into walls.
You walk into walls. Yeah, I know. I've done that a few times too. Right? But we don't really think about what did it mean that Jesus, the resurrected Christ, took human flesh, glorified, I mean made eternal, but took it back into the Trinity. We'll talk about that. But the wonder of it all, right? And this good news that of the promise that he made as he ascended back, what did he say? I am with you always to the end of the age. It may look like I'm leaving you, but I'm not going anywhere. And then 10 days later, the Spirit came. It's powerful. And it only happened because of the resurrection. It matters. This is all true. But guess what? The good news of the resurrection is even better than that.
So another answer often given is that Christ's resurrection matters mm-hmm. because it proves his divinity.
Yeah.
Because only God can rise from the dead. Think about it. Some people claim to have had near-death experiences. And some of those are pretty wild. Mm-hmm. Some have been resuscitated when it was thought that they were dead. I love the scene in The Princess Bride. And we know where I'm going with this. Where Mad Max, played by Billy Crystal, pronounces the hero Wesley to be mostly dead. And then blows air into his lungs and brings him back to life. But Jesus came back to life from being completely dead. 3 days dead. Only God can do that. It's interesting, in Scripture, the first person to declare that Jesus was God was the one who had doubted the resurrection until he saw him face to face. Saw him in the flesh and went, I believe this is the work of God. This is God. So yes, Christ's resurrection shows us God at work.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, the good news of the resurrection is even better than that.
Yes, it is. Because another way that Christ's resurrection matters, according to many Christians, is that it means that our bodies, too, will also one day be raised from the dead. That this isn't something that just happened for Jesus. But one day, we are also going to be raised from the dead in our bodies somehow changed and fit for eternity. This is one of the greatest promises of Jesus' resurrection, right? That through faith in him, our own dead bodies will one day be resurrected. There's so many scriptures we could read about this, but here's one that puts it plainly. 1 Corinthians 6:14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also, period. I mean, it's just the same because it happened for him. For those of us who put our faith in him, it's going to happen for us too. We don't exactly know what that's going to look like. We don't know when it's going to happen, in the future sometime, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is incredible truth, isn't it? Hope. But guess what? The good news of the resurrection is even better than that.
We got another one for you. Let's do this all day. Maybe Christ's resurrection matters because it inspires us to overcome our own despair and our own challenges. Mm-hmm. Have you had that experience? It does do that. That Christ is alive, sharing his resurrection power with us is good news when we feel like we're dying.
Yes.
when we feel like there's no hope left, when things are starting to fall apart, to remember that that resurrection power is with us and for us, available to us, is awesome. No tomb is so barricaded that we cannot be resurrected from it.
Yes.
It's wonderfully encouraging. Yes! But again, the good news of the resurrection is even better than that.
So, what else is there about resurrection that could be better than even all of that
pizza.
Amazing good news? Will there be pizza in heaven?
I think there's a buffet.
Oh, there's a pizza buffet. All righty then. Well, we're going to answer that question, at least the beginning of an answer to that question, about what else is there about resurrection that could be better from the things that we've already been told. Well, we're going to look at some scriptures today that are going to reveal to us something more about resurrection past, present, and future. Remember how a few months ago we learned that we've been saved, are being saved, we've been saved in the past, we're being saved in the present, and we will be saved. Do you remember that? The verb tenses, Greek verbs in the New Testament. Well, guess what? The same thing is true of resurrection. If we're in Christ, we have already been resurrected. Past. Done. Already resurrected. And we are continuing to be resurrected here and now in the present. And as we just saw in the future, yes, we will be fully and completely resurrected. All of these aspects of resurrection are not only absolutely wonderful, they are absolutely necessary for us to actually live as those who are alive from the dead right here, right now, every day of our lives.
So let's start with what most Christians focus on, the future hope, future tense, that someday we will be resurrected.
Yeah.
Someday we will all die, but it's not the end. Some glad morning when this life is o'er. What's the next line?
I'll fly away.
Yes! I'll fly away to heaven and live there for eternity, never again to die, never again to cry, never again to feel the pain of this broken world, never again to say goodbye. That's what gives us courage when we face death, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I did this week for a family for whom I conducted a graveside service. Their husband, father, grandfather, my old friend and early mentor became yet another of the multitudes of people who've succumbed to this virus. Yeah. It's caused the world so much grief, so much turmoil. Another person I knew, a 77-year-old student of mine, died of the virus later that same night. It's been a hard week. But Wednesday, I stood there in that cemetery beside my friend's coffin, which was resting above his open grave, of the certain hope of the resurrection, of life eternal, for one who had trusted Christ with his life for as long as anybody could remember. And yes, they said it helped. But this hope of resurrection is not just for ourselves and not just for funerals. We look forward to the day when Christ returns to this earth in bodily form and everything that the human race has longed for finally happens. Wrong is made right and injustices are set straight and the lost hopefully find their way home.
Yes.
We don't know much about what that future is going to look like, and I hear some preachers proclaim sometimes with some confidence that I don't think Scripture justifies, but we know it's good. We know the good God, he's so, so good to us. He will continue to be.
Yes.
The good God who has promised it and who has set things in motion. It's coming.
Yes.
And the verb matters. We are not going to it. We don't have to push our way through to some future that we might otherwise miss. We don't have to make it happen. It will happen. It's coming to us. He is coming to us.
Yes.
And why should we be surprised? He came to us once already. And what did he say when he left us physically? He said he would come again.
Yeah.
And he would restore all things. And we can trust that indeed he will. And that someday we all will live in the fullness of resurrection. Or at least everybody who wishes to. And all of this is so good, right? But is that all? Let me tell you about another graveside of conversation. One day, Jesus' friend Lazarus died unexpectedly. And Lazarus' sister, Martha, was beside herself with loss, as is appropriate. Jesus loved Martha. And he looked at her and he said with great tenderness, I believe, Martha, this is not the end for your brother Lazarus. He will rise again. And Martha looks at him, I'm paraphrasing here. Martha looks at him quizzically, I think. You're talking about the end of all time, when God will make all the dead rise again forever? You're talking about the resurrection of all things at the end of everything? Yes, yes, I know that. I believe that. But that doesn't make me feel any better right now. Martha's got a good point, doesn't she? To merely wait and long for some distant event in the future is not to live it now. And Jesus is always wanting us to live fully now. Well, good news. Good news for Martha. Good news for us. So much of what we look forward to in some distant future is actually already true. It's already happened. It's already here. And that's what most Christians miss.
Right.
And that's why resurrection so seems so often to elude them in the present moment.
Right. Yeah, we do have hope of a future physical resurrection because in Christ, we've already been resurrected. Already. Spiritually resurrected at a moment in the past. This is clear in Scripture. This is what we talk about when we talk about conversion or salvation or the moment. And we don't always know when that moment is. But somewhere in the past, if we know Christ by faith, and we've given our life, he gives us his life. He gives us his spirit. I remember it was April of 1980. I knelt down next to my bed one afternoon. And I stood up changed. All I did was kneel down and say, look, if it's true, show me. There was a presence in that room convincing enough to convince me as an atheist that there was an invisible somebody there. And I said, fine, I don't want my life. You could have it. And I stood up different. I don't know the exact date. I have a time in the past when I know something changed in me. But now, 40 years later, my entire life has been a living response to what happened in that one moment. Learning more, growing into it more, right? But we've already been. I was resurrected in that moment. So were you. Whether you nail the moment or not, whether the awareness of it crept up on you gradually, it's okay. The point is, we are already resurrected if we know Christ. This is clear in Scripture. Although, you know, many Christians seem to read the words in Scripture about it without actually taking in the wonder of what those words are really saying. So let me give you just a few scriptures. There's so many more. Paul in Romans, his letter to the Romans. Therefore, he says, we have been buried with him. All right, we'll stop there for a minute. English major here. What tense is that? Past. We have been buried with him. Aorist in Greek, done. Done and finished in the past, done. We've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. And the verbs there do not say someday. That's implied, but it starts now. It starts back in that moment. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, so we too may walk in newness of life. Okay, another one. Paul again to the Colossians. When you were buried with him, past tense in baptism, you were also raised with him. Past tense. So you're buried with him, and then you're also raised with him. When? In that exact same moment. Again, this we're not taught to be aware of it. But this is what the scripture tells us. You were also raised with him in that same moment in the past through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead, which was in the past, God made you alive together with him. Do you see that? Notice what that verse does not say. It does not say, and when you die someday in the future, God will make you alive together with Christ then. It doesn't say that because that is not the reality that the scripture teaches us about the resurrection. What it says is the radical truth that differentiates our faith from all other faiths. When you were dead spiritually in the past, God made you alive together with Christ way back then. And we just need to stop for a moment and let that sink in. Because it makes no logical sense. Which miracles don't really, do they? If everything makes absolute sense to human beings in a faith system, we gotta figure God's not in it, because we as human beings cannot know with absolute certainty everything about God or what God does. One more scripture. Let's read one more scripture. Oh, this is my favorite part. Let's read one more scripture. There's many we could read, but let's read Paul's powerful declaration. See, not only of the reality of what Jesus' death and resurrection meant for him, because obviously he understood a lot here.
The zombies would be really interested in him.
Yes, I'm sure they would. But this is a powerful declaration not only of the reality of what Paul knew about Jesus' death and resurrection and what it meant for him, but it is also a declaration about the utterly astounding reality that this is also true for every single one of us who unites our spirits, our lives, with the spirit and life of our Lord. It's about what we experience. Paul says, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ back then, and I no longer live. I died. When he died, I died. But Christ lives in me now. The life I now live in the body, he's not talking about in the future. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Literally what it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That is powerful. See, it's not even our own faith that empowers our resurrection. It's not our own faith that empowers our lives now. It's Jesus' faith imputed to us. Wow. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That declaration is not only true for Paul, it's true for every single one of us. That we have already been resurrected is core to Paul's gospel and to the power of his life and ministry. And what an encouragement and an assurance it is for all of us who followed and trusted Christ, right? That our hope for resurrected life is not simply in a future event, but it's anchored in a reality that has already happened, not only for Jesus, but for every one of his followers. Because through faith, we have already become one with Christ spiritually. There's a place in our being, in our spirit, where we're already as alive now as we will be in heaven one day. Paul, again, he told the Corinthian believers, anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. One spirit with the one who is resurrection. You and I are joined as one with the one who not only experienced resurrection, but who is resurrection. Amen?
Remember Jesus and Martha at Lazarus' grave? Jesus had wonderful news for Martha that day at Lazarus' tomb. And it wasn't just that one day in the future, she and her brother and everybody else would be resurrected. It was about what was happening that day. Jesus told her that the one she was looking at, the one she was talking to, was more than just flesh and blood. He announced to her who what his real identity was. Mm-hmm. I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
And then weeping with union with all who mourn at gravesides. It's the only passage in the Bible where it says that Jesus wept, although I think it happened more than that. Jesus called Lazarus out of his tomb. And Lazarus responded to the amazement of the crowd and the befuddlement of two millennia of people afterwards. We are like Lazarus, raised from the death of sin, from all that have been stolen away, our lives, everything that had enslaved us. And we are one with Jesus, who is resurrection itself and has given his resurrected life to us. It's mind-blowing, really.
Yeah.
Because Scripture says that as he is, so are we in this world. And how is Jesus now? He's resurrected, raised from the dead. And that's how we are now.
Yes.
In this world.
Yeah.
Resurrected, raised from the dead, spiritually. That new life is complete.
Yep.
But it's not yet completely outworked with every aspect of our beings and lives.
Right.
So this is present tense. Day by day, in the present moment, we are being resurrected.
Yeah.
Not just a future hope, not just something that happened long ago. Today, we are being resurrected. What has happened in the past is still ongoing in us. We are living out in the present what Christ did for us already. And that's why we had to make up a word to title this message. Did you catch it at the beginning? We didn't call attention to it. Resurrecting. That's what we're doing.
English is so, you know, compared to Greek, it's just paltry.
Yeah.
The words that we have to
part of the reason we don't have a word for this is because Christians who spoke our language have not ever really fully understood this.
Yeah. Yeah, participle, participle.
We're going to make up Hosanna glossary at some point. Anyway, we wanted to try to capture that past into the present and on into the future movement. And all those words are connected with hyphens. Past into the present and on into the future. That's what resurrecting. Yeah, that's why we don't have that word. We can't pronounce it. Our spiritual resurrection outworks into our minds, our hearts, desires, our relationships, actions. And then, yes, I know what you're thinking. How about the part that Lazarus was dealing with and Martha was dealing with? Yes, one day, even our bodies.
Yes.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah.
Ironically, that's not the most important piece of us.
Yeah.
But yes, one day, those two. So how do you and I do this? How do we move from I have been raised to I am risen? In real life. Well, our choices matter. We get to decide whether we'll live resurrected life. He has done it for us, but he still says, you get to decide whether you're going to do it. So the invitation is, we are raised, therefore rise.
Yes.
The Greek word used in the Bible for resurrection is anastasis. It's there on the screen. It's where we get the name Anastasia from, by the way. And it literally means to upstand, to stand up, to rise. Jesus resurrected Lazarus. He called for him, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came back to life, but Lazarus had to choose to rise, to get off of his slab and walk out of his tomb. One day, there was a paralytic who was brought before Jesus on a mat, and he was brought down through the roof, and he was laid there, and Jesus forgave him his sins, and then he healed his legs. And then what did he say to him? Get up, take your mat, rise,
yes,
and walk home. And the guy had to choose whether to lay there with perfectly functioning legs or whether he would indeed rise and walk home.
Yes.
And by the way, it occurred to me this morning as we were singing, if we want to rise, if we know that we've been resurrected, but we've been so beat up by life that we don't feel like we have the strength to get up on our own, what did we sing this morning? He'll pick us up, turn us around, and set our feet on solid ground. He'll even do that for us.
Yes.
But he's waiting for the one to.
Yeah.
And when we rise, life begins to change. And that's what Scripture says. Since then, you have been raised with Christ already. This is yet another verse.
Yeah, you have been.
Since then, that is already true. What do? Set your hearts. What is it saying? Choose to do this. You get to choose. Set your hearts on what? On things above.
Yep.
Where Christ is.
Yep.
So this is the point in the message where we start asking hard questions. Where is your heart set?
Yeah.
What consumes your thinking? What satisfies your desires? What motivates your actions? When we live a resurrected life, it is the eternal, beautiful, life-giving things of God rather than the death-dealing, temporary things of this world that have occupied so much of our attention.
Yes.
Over the last 10 months, 10 years, maybe our whole lifetimes. There was a time when you were entranced by those things, Paul says. You were enslaved by them even. But no more. No more. Because Christ has died and is risen and you are in him, you can, here's another verse, count yourself. Count means consider, reckon, conclude. Arrive at the conclusion, finally, that this is true. Count yourselves what? Dead to sin.
Yeah.
Dead to sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And if dead is dead, then alive must be alive.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Alive must be alive here and now in the present tense, even among us, even among us messy people in a messy world. It is true for us too, not just the super saints, not the people in Colossians and the people in Corinth and for the Apostle Paul and the other people of the world. It's for us.
Yes.
It is true already, now.
Yes.
I'm done preaching.
I noticed. Yes. Okay, isn't this great news? Isn't there more to resurrection that maybe even a year wouldn't be enough to explore? This is all such great news. Let me just stop for a moment. Do any of you feel like a little bit of rising within you? You know what I mean? That sense of you might have come in heavy for a lot of really good reasons. But as we talk about resurrection and we learn more about it here, our spirit responds because the Holy Spirit's right here and often feel a rising within. Just a hint, that happens all the time as we're walking around living our lives. If we can learn to notice resurrection, notice when you feel that rising. It's a hint to say, look around at what's happening right now. Something's rising of spirit, of life within you. Look around, because there's probably somebody or something right there in that moment that God wants you to share some resurrection life with. Make sense? So all this is such amazing, incredible, and almost unbelievable news. Like, it's too good to be true, but you know what? It's not. It's all true. So a couple more questions. Why, if this is true, why aren't every one of us living like this right now? Right? Why are so many of our hearts set so intently on earthly things? Why do so many Christians live as if we are still enslaved to sin? We are not. We're going to take some time this year to look at that. What does resurrection mean? It means freedom from sin. You are no longer sin's slave. But it's your choice whether you're going to live like that or not. Right? Where's the joy of the resurrection in our lives? See, and even though, you know, we've heard Christ calling us out of our tombs, like Lazarus, as Tony just said, why, unlike Lazarus, do we just sit there on the slab, stare at the open door, and remain inside? Again, several reasons. Probably, I think most, what contributes to this greatly is that most of us haven't been told what's true about resurrection, because unfortunately, those who taught us and those who taught them and those who taught them didn't know. We haven't been told. And if we haven't, you know, and even if we have been told, because we've preached a lot of this here over the years, but even if we have been told, we haven't been, I guess, we haven't been convinced enough to stake our lives on it and live like it. See, without knowing what the resurrection of Christ means today, and without, not just knowing here, but without experiencing that resurrected life personally ourselves, it is simply so hard to trust that it's real And it really is possible for us now. It's just so much easier to console ourselves in our misery by imagining what it's going to be one day. It's going to be so wonderful in heaven someday when I fly away, oh glory. No, that is not what Christian, that is not the way we are called to live in this world, longing to get out of here. See, what it does is it brings right up front that we need to be willing to take the risk to live together individually, but to live together as the risen body of Christ in the world right now on earth as it is in heaven. 100 years ago, there was an evangelist named Billy Sunday, and he would preach these flamboyant sermons night after night to the row after row of seekers who were seated in folding chairs in this huge revival tent. From the entrance, the doorway to the tent, there was an aisle, a very wide aisle, that went from the entrance of the tent straight up to the pulpit. And that aisle was covered in several inches of sawdust. And when Billy Sunday would give his famous altar calls at the end of the service, people would hit the sawdust trail. That's where that came from. They would hit the sawdust trail. They'd get out in that aisle. They would walk forward, and they'd kneel in repentance and become Christians. Eugene Peterson notes that Billy Sunday's altar call seemed the ideal formula for the Christian life. Hit the sawdust trail. This is basically what he would say. Hit the sawdust trail, come down here, fall on your knees, receive Christ as your Savior, and then walk out of this tent into the street, get hit by a Mack truck, and go straight to heaven. That's what he would say. That was his altar call. Hit the sawdust trail, then go get hit by a truck. You'll be in heaven tonight. I don't know. It was 100 years ago. But what Peterson, he continues and he says, you must admit, I think, that it's a wonderful formula for getting to heaven the quickest and easiest way, and is virtually foolproof. There's no time to backslide, no temptations to bother with, no doubts to wrestle with, no spouse to have to honor, no kids to put up with, or dogs, no enemies to love, no more sorrow, no more tears, instant eternity. Ooh, our culture likes that, doesn't it? And that's the real issue, isn't it? We are great at beginnings, and we love past. We're great at beginnings, and we love happy endings in the future. But we're not too great at living in the messy, painful, nitty-gritty in-between. But here's the thing. We don't live in the past, and we do not yet live in the future. We live right here and now. And so does Jesus Christ, and so does the Holy Spirit within us, and so does the great cloud of witnesses who are invisibly with us, surrounding us, cheering us on in this life. And so does the world and everyone in it, all who matter to God now, right now. We can't wait to live resurrected until heaven because they need to see it now. All need. There are so, oh my gosh, the fields are ripe. All need the love and resurrection life of our risen Lord now. Resurrection matters so much that the Bible is clear that what God desires is that heaven and earth be joined as one, not only in the future, but now, in our lives, in our church, in our world. So it's no accident that Jesus taught us to pray. What? Your kingdom come. See? Come to. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now. And you know, unless we're willing to live resurrection now, how else will the kingdom of God become real in this world? So we must be as responsive to Jesus' call as Lazarus was. As Tony said, Jesus called out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus lived again and came forth still wrapped in his grave clothes. It was going to be an ongoing process in community. But what we often miss is that he had to do something. He had to do what was necessary to stand up and come out of that tomb. we too are responsible to act. To know it all in our heads is not good enough. That is not resurrection living. It's important because it helps us know how to act. But we are responsible before God to act, to answer Jesus' resurrection call in living ways by standing up, walking out of our tombs, and actually living the new life that we've been given. See, the old life you were living before Christ is gone. It's an illusion if you're still trying to get back there and live that. There's a new life, Christ's life, and you're raised and you're new. And we've got some resurrection living to do, don't we?
Okay, let's wrap up.
Yeah.
One day at the pool Bethesda in Jerusalem, Jesus saw an invalid man who had been there for 38 years.
Yeah.
Some of you know what that feels like. And Jesus asked him, an odd question it seemed, do you want to get well? Well, we have a similar question for you. Do you want to be raised?
Yeah.
Actually, you already are. So how about this one? Do you want to rise? Or would you rather hold on to that which enslaves and sickens you? Many people do, actually.
Yep.
We'll talk about why we do that, why we would prefer that in the coming weeks. For now, be real with yourself a bit. Be real with yourself a bit.
Yeah.
Are you keeping resurrection at a distance like you would a ghost or a zombie? Or are you like Lazarus, willing to rise off the slab of death and walk out of your tomb into the bright sunshine of new life? Not just Tony asking you this. God is asking you this. God is asking me this.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell him your answer while we pray together?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be silent for a moment, and then I'll pray for all of us. God, we want to live.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be fully alive in this world. Forgive us for lying on those death slabs for so long when you have raised us from the dead.
Yes.
Give us courage today. Give us the want to in our heart to rise from them and walk into this newness of life that you have already made for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Before you leave, we're going to invite you to watch this video. We close the service, and then, which kind of summarizes much of what we've said here. It's available online as well, so just hang on here for a moment. Carry these truths with you today and all week, so that this isn't just a nice Sunday morning message, but Monday is different as a result of it. Remember to live that the resurrection is already true for you and in you.
Yes.
Because of what Christ has already done.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do this week, watch out for Mack trucks.